Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes come out every Monday. No, I'm sorry. Damn it. I always mess it up. New episodes come out the first Monday of the month. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hi.
And joining us this month is another 110 Podcast alum, LA-based artist with deep Texas roots. Everybody say hello to Medima.
Hi.
Woo-woo.
Hello, Medima. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's a little chilly, but I had such great service from you guys. A hot tea, some pastries. Ferrero Rocher was also offered. I'm just feeling so good, and it's so cozy. Thank you so much for having me here.
Nice, nice. Let us know if you want a Charlie Brown throw.
Well, I am into all things. I'm just going to take this lovely blanket that you got. You just saying that and get even more cozy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get comfy, get cozy. So, Denise, I guess you're more familiar with Medima through the 110 podcast. So do you want to tell folks a little bit more about her, how you came across her music, all that good stuff?
I don't remember. Did I say how I came across your music?
I think from what I remember in the episode, it was because you saw me on a lineup with another band that you're familiar with. Oh, God, the name of the other band escapes me.
Denise putting you on the spot.
Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I don't remember either.
I know. I'm trying to remember. Because, the thing that we, know is that we have a mutual friend who is KP, otherwise known as Paul Abasamas, who is the drummer in my band.
Shout out, KP.
Yeah. So he was very quick after the episode for the 110 pod came out to, comment immediately and be like, Deef? Denise? Oh, my God. That was incredible. So it was, I love knowing that, we knew of each other in the music scene, but then more of the knowledge of each other deepened because of a friend.
No, yeah, I definitely remember there was a few connections, and I just couldn't put my finger on it. Maybe it was you were on a bill with someone. I do remember seeing the video with KP, and I was just that looks like KP. I know I told that story already earlier, but I just wanted to mention that. And then, just
wild.
Yeah.
Again, KP, this is specifically for you. How did you not tell anyone you played drums for years, my guy? That's so crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I assumed you guys met at a mic or church or something. And then, it turned out to be a mic like me, open mics, bringing people together. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
Yeah.
He gets around the mic scene, that is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was like, oh, I don't know about that. I didn't know him like that, but good on you, KP. All right. Good man, good man. Well, we'll get to know Medima a little bit more as we go through. By the way, make sure you follow her on all the socials. I believe you're at medima.mp3.
Mm-hmm, that's it.
There you go. And then there you'll see a link to her link tree. And there's links to her music on all the streaming platforms, not just Spotify, but whatever you're on. You're also on Patreon.
I am.
So if people want to throw a few shekels your way.
Yes.
Head on over to the Patreon.
Yes. Medima-mp3.com. The thing is about Squarespace is that they're like, nah, you can't put a dot in the name of your website before the .com. That's silly. I'll never understand coding. It's no big deal. But if anybody ever wants to catch up with me privately, get some exclusive things before stuff drops, the Patreon is the place to go. And also, Patreon's such a lovely platform for independent musicians in general. It's a really great way to support musicians directly. That's not, just saying, I'll pre-save this track or I'll go to that show, maybe.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, so there you go. Go ahead and give her some love over on the Patreon. And with that, Medima, would you like to tell everyone at home or in their car or wherever they may be what the theme is for this month and why you chose it?
Yeah, I decided to choose a theme for this month is perseverance or just songs about perseverance. I think a lot of what artists feel like at the top of the year, especially as we leave, there's something about, at least for my friends or that I've noticed, that we were all hustling so hard at the end of the year this past year. I would see nothing but show plugs after show plug, release after release from a lot of my friends as we were barreling through November and December. And as we got to January, I saw a lot of my friends say things like, I need to take a break from social media, or I need to take a break from recording, or I need to take a break from rehearsing, or performing in general. So the feeling that I was getting from a lot of people was just that it's becoming so much harder with like stuff that's going on with like the new Spotify thing, where like there's what, like 82.7% of tracks on Spotify are now demonetized because they don't reach a certain threshold.
Right.
So like obstacles like that, that were popping up all over the place. And like, especially with like Spotify Wrapped, did you guys see the thing that, Weird Al Yankovic did?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole thing too, where it's like, oh, even musicians that are as established or as large as like these, even they don't get to see the fruits of their labor like in a sustainable way from whenever you're recording and releasing constantly. And there's no regulation about it either. So there was just like this overall feeling of like, so then what's the point? Like, why should I even do this? Why should I be an artist? I just needed, like truly needed to like tap back into the perseverance thing of like, no. I want to keep going. Why do I want to keep going? For the sake of going, I think. Like, it's a perseverance is such a crazy thing to have as an artist, because like there's so many things that are gonna tell you no, or that you shouldn't be doing this, or that you should stop doing it because like it's not practical, or it's gonna leave you destitute or something. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, I think that at the top of the year, if you're already thinking about setting goals and you're already thinking about like, well, what do I really want to accomplish? Perseverance is the key component you need to make that actually happen.
I dig it.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. And with that, we do this thing now where we put the guest in the middle, like a little guest sandwich.
Ooh, tasty.
Yeah, yeah. So with that, Denise, you get to go first, because I think I went first last time or something. I don't remember.
Yes.
So go ahead.
I'm going first. I don't remember who went first last time. But the first song that came to mind when you sent this to me, when you sent me the theme, the song is called Girl Clout, and it's by a band called Fresh.
Cool.
They're from London. I'm not sure if this song is about perseverance. I'm not sure really what this song is about. I think it's about touring and just getting through it. But there's a line in there that I really resonated with. I'll touch on that later. I just thought of this song when I first heard it. I want to say I found it last year in 2022. Like, it didn't have a lot of listens, like too many listens for the 110. But like, I remember watching this band like grow, like, and just the numbers go up. Like every time I like went to see that, like went to hear this song, and I was like, oh dang, like that's crazy. Well, good for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Good for them. But like I said, out of London, they have three albums out from 2017, 2019. I'm doing that thing where I like skip the 19.
Like, and I just don't remember. We don't remember 2019 because it was in the before times of the before times.
I'm that old. And their latest album is from 2022. But they have a bunch of singles in between. Mm. And this is off one of the singles called The Summer I Got Good at Guitar. And like, I just love everything about this band. It's very upbeat, very punk. Yeah, I think I'll play it and then I'll talk about the lyrics afterwards.
Seriously.
yeah, that was my song. I love that you can still hear her accent. Like, usually the accent goes away when people like with accents start singing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then like you, the trickery, the mind trickery of it, yeah, where you're like, I thought I knew you and you're different than I thought. Like, truly, like when that happened with Adele for me, I was like,
yeah,
you're from where? You talk like what? Like, yeah, regularly? It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a very short song. It's only 2 minutes long, but that line that it says, I feel the pressure to say yes, no one will take me seriously. Just that part right there for me is what just like, I don't know, like I that really resonated with me. And yeah, that was my song. I think there's one more thing I wanted to say, but I forgot.
There was that line about like lethargy or like,
yeah, right,
like,
before.
Like, yeah, like that felt so real. Of just like, I feel so much lethargy. Just like, I feel tired. I feel so lazy. And the seeking of the validation whenever you're just kind of like, but I don't want that anymore. This sucks. Yeah. I loved the whole vibe of that. That whole track felt very much like you said, like punk. It felt like literally raging against like feeling lazy or like feeling tired. And I feel like that's exactly what perseverance is. Like, you thought it wasn't a perseverance song initially, but I'm like, yeah, dude. Like,
yeah,
absolutely.
No, yeah, I can see it now. But and like, that was another thing. I wanted to find an interview, but the band's name is Fresh. Mm. So that just brings up so many other things. I feel like there was a couple other artists named Fresh, and like, I couldn't really find anything. They didn't do any interviews that I had found. I really wanted to see if they had anything out there, but I couldn't find anything. So still one of those like smaller bands.
Fresh is hard to Google.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rough. Yeah. Yeah. And if you try to put Fresh band.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just kind of like, top 100 Fresh bands of 2023. You're like, no,
I meant the band Fresh.
Yeah,
the band Fresh.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I love, dang, well, Fresh, thanks.
It was a banger. It was
that
a banger
was
dude
a serious banger.
Yes There were some other lines in there that Madima, you were kind of like resonating with.
Yeah,
and I was like, yes dude, but now I forgot them.
the greed
something
one.
About the green wood, like, yeah, we didn't drive all the way out here to idolize your greed,
yeah,
or something like that.
That one where I was like, yes, like I like duh, it's a podcast. I like put my hands up and I started snapping like I was at an open mic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one is, I feel like, is so real for like artists that have to deal with promoters. Mm-hmm. Where you're just kind of like, I didn't come out the way out here for you. Mm-hmm. You told me I had to get 30 people in this room. I'm not here to sell tickets, man. I'm here to play a kick-ass show. Like, yeah, that's not what it's about. And then the other line about like something about, you claim to be like one of the good guys, like the amount of times that like people try to sell you on like, oh, but like you can feel safe with me. Like I'll take care of you whenever you're going out to different venues, and how that's like a lie where like having to have like actual protection for your art and for your band. I mean, not just like physical protection, but just kind of like monetary protection, like emotional protection is so necessary. And so many people try to like disillusion you from that, where you're just kind of like, you have to make it on your own. You have to do it by yourself, and you don't have to, but you have to have like the right people around to like protect you from that.
I noticed when I was, you know, just looking through your different social media, well, your social media page and then your Linktree and then your website and then the merch and this and that. So you have a pretty significant online presence as far as your music and ways for people to support you and all that. And when we had Mark on the show a while back, his artist, I forgot the name of his artist, the artist that he brought.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like a real, very like hippy dippy kind of music, right? Which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. But when I checked out his actual page, he was very interested in the marketing side of things. Mm. So it kind of put like a weird tint on the music itself. I was like, wait, so your music is about this, but you're obviously very much on the marketing side of things.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. You got to make money, right? It's like, how else are you going to continue making more music, right?
Right.
So what I'm getting at with all that is, right now, you as Madima, like the artist, do you take care of that all by yourself, or do you have somebody that kind of helps you on the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I am a one-woman show, when it comes to that. It's nuts. So I went to school for film. I have like a film production background. And the story behind that of like how that all went down was that I thought as a naive, like, college freshman that I would go into radio, television, film as my major with the idea that, okay, I'll get into radio and then from radio, I'll go into like music business because like, I'm not sure if I'm good enough to be like an artist actually. So maybe I'll just like help other artists be able to like handle their money or like get good management and be a good agent or something. But then I was like surrounded by all these really passionate filmmakers and I got swept up in that. So I ended up just doing more of like the film and television stuff. So through that, like I learned a lot about marketing. I learned a lot about like content creation as it was in like a lower level, kind of like grassroots level. When I finally got the courage to like pursue more of my music and more of my artistry after I moved out here to LA, I've just been doing it all on my own. I love a spreadsheet. I love to group things together where I'm like, okay, so then during this time I can do this and like, ooh, that band that I like is releasing this. Maybe I'll cover something and like put it online or something.
Oh, nice, nice,
yeah. Like, you know, like you gamify the system a little bit to try to like get, reach your audience specifically. And I think that's what I like to think about my page because like, I don't like bots. I don't like paid like integrations and all that. My own social media, like I would say that the numbers don't reflect what my audience is like, I guess, where it's that I don't like to look at numbers a lot. I don't like to look at metrics. I know that that should be important so that I adjust like what I do so that people can find me in the first place. But there's something that's really cool about like being able to curate the way that you are as an artist so that you find the right people and the right people find you. So that's really just my long roundabout way of saying like, I do this all by myself, baby. I got no manager. I got no agents, like all the finding of the shows and paying producers and paying graphic artists. Like I fully believe in like supporting local and like really going out of your way to support the people that you can collaborate with, because I just haven't met anybody that has like a wealth of resources that isn't in it to like get something of theirs or like sort of take advantage of artists in that way. You know what I mean? And I maybe it's just because I have trust issues, but I'm also just kind of like, look, if somebody is just as passionate as I am about this stuff and I can afford to pay them, I'd love to off like load some of my work, but I'm just not at that point yet. So I'm happy to do my business how I do it right now until somebody that I feel comfortable enough to bankroll it can do so, I guess.
Yeah. It's a full-time job.
Oh my God.
Doing all of that. And then, and then you throw in all the social media stuff and then that is like another full-time job. So it's like you have the management side and then you have all the social media side and then you have the booking and then you have this and then you have that. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. So I mean, we'll talk a little bit more later about some of the places that you've already been able to play and just thinking about that and the fact that you've done it all on your own. Like that's crazy. It's like, whoa, how'd you do that? But anyways, we'll get to that later.
Thanks, dude.
And with that, I guess we'll get to your song. So go ahead and let us know what your song is, why you chose it.
Gosh, I just got to say also before we get into it, really love this show. Love the format of the show. Oh. It's such a fun thing as a listener. And I hope you listeners really enjoy this format as well. So I always think of this song whenever I think of like Perseverance. It's by a band called Lucius. I feel like they're like kind of bigger now than they used to be. I remember seeing this band for the very first time in 2013, back whenever I was living in Austin, Texas. I saw them at South by Southwest.
Oh, damn.
So good. I love that festival so much. Tickets are so expensive.
Yeah.
But I was a volunteer for that festival and I got to see them on like the Radio Day stage. Mm-hmm. I believe that they met whenever they were going to school for like Berklee School of Music. A lot of the original band members that were there, including Holly and Jess, who are the two main singers that like comprised Lucius, and like you see their faces all over the place. It was just so inspiring to see like two women that were like fronting a band that also just had some incredible bops. This particular song, I remember when I first heard it on that freshman album of theirs, Wilda Woman, I was like locked in. I was just like, yeah, a lot of people don't always realize like the journey that you're able to go on, or like how harrowing the journey can be. But like whenever we all get to go on it together, it gets a little like woo woo on my end, but I'm just kind of like, ah, yes, I love this. So the song that I chose was Two of Us on the Run by Lucius. That song always tickles like just like the right part of my brain where I'm like, ooh, yes, yes, acoustic guitars, yes, harmonies. Ugh.
Yeah, so they have good. Harmonies for days.
Harmonies for days, yes. Dude. Oh, man. Gosh, I really hope like the listeners, if you deign to like listen to the rest of the song too, it's like really punches that home.
Yes.
Because there's this one line that I always like with this is the there's no race, there's only the runner. Just keep one foot in front of the other, where it's like there that whole thing where it was just talking about how you should just keep going. Like there are things that like you might be scared to let go of, that you might not be sure that you want to leave, but like those things have their place in your past, but then there's so much more to enjoy in the present and your future. And I was like, yeah. Musicians got to remember that. There's just so much. There's so much more. And if we just like allow ourselves to believe that like we'll get to the place that we want to be one day, and if we just keep thinking about that one day, it'll help us like eventually get there. I don't know. It's just I always get deep in my feels in this song, and especially whenever like the bridge like towards the end hits, like I'll be in my car and I'll just be like singing at the top of my lungs and be like, turn off the lights. Like just like truly very off key and just in this moment, but I'm like, I'm not doing that to Rod's mic.
No, yeah. No, I feel you there. Like there's just some songs where it just, they get you right in there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I don't know. I never know exactly what it is, but I don't know if it's like a certain key or like a certain something or something where you're just like, oh, like it gets you in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you couple that with some good lyrics and you're just like, oh my God. Like music's so powerful.
Music's so powerful. Like also just like, oh, sorry, I'm going to nerd out just for a quick second. The layering that they do as like the song is building is just so great. when you think about whenever they talk about they could come along, I wish they'd been told. And as soon as you get to that second round of the chorus, like you hear more voices, it's almost like more people are joining in on the journey. And it's just like, ah, yeah, if we collectively just like bring each other together, then like we can all feel how they feel about being, you know, just on the run. It's just, and it makes me think of like Band on the Run as well, where I'm just kind of like, ah, this is, it's like nostalgia. It's like optimistic nostalgia instead of just like, wait, now I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, what's pessimistic nostalgia? I'm like, trauma. But like, you know, it's just like, there's something about it where I'm going to stop talking because I won't be able to stop.
No, yeah, yeah. And then I was never a runner, but Denise was a runner back in her high school days.
Oh, whoa.
But to keep with the whole like runner thing, yeah. Another thing that you would hear, and Denise, you're probably more familiar with this, is they would also tell runners like run your own race kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So especially like in cross country, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, obviously you're all running in a pack, but ultimately like it's your time.
That's so cool.
So you could be running to beat your own personal best record or something like that.
Yeah.
Denise, maybe you could speak on that more. I'm not a runner.
I mean, this is just all the things you say as a coach, because I coached like running for youth like 18 years. So it's just like everyone has a good day, everyone has a bad day. Mm. Like in that sense, like, you know how you're feeling, like you know how to pace yourself, like run your own race. Like if you need to like follow someone, you know what I mean? Or if you need to like, if you're feeling like you could pull forward, like, and it's all strategy and stuff, like run your own race. There's a bunch of strategy that goes into that too as well.
Dang. Let it never be said that running isn't therapy. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of runners that are like, yeah, dude, like I just like zone out.
I just let go.
And I'm just like, but you're running.
I'm over here. I'm just kind of like, I'm asthmatic. It's tough to focus on breathing whenever I can't.
yeah. And also as Madima was saying, definitely go check out the whole rest of the song, because it builds and builds and it just kind of ends on a nice climax for you there.
In fact, just like check out the rest of the album, like where it is in the album too is just like tasty. I love albums, man. I'm so sad that we're only just doing like singles nowadays with like new music, but man do I love just like turning on like a 12 song album and just like basking in like the glory that is an artist's story.
For sure. I, to that point, now I'm gonna sound like I'm saying the opposite of that, but I wasn't aware of this, but I actually like one of their other songs, because you know how Spotify does that thing. It's like, oh, there's these other songs you like, and I'm like, oh shit, I like one of them, and it's Next to Normal.
Oh my god, what a bop. What a bop that song is.
And that's so, to that point, is like their music has really changed over time. This is like super folky, and then Next to Normal is more like a pop song.
It's crazy. They work with like so many different. What's funny is they will collaborate with a lot of different folk artists a lot. So like obviously a big one is Brandi Carlile. Like they're featured on like Brandi's like the one of her bigger hits from like 2022 or something. And then Rick Robertson has a song that features them. That's another one of my like favorite, just like, oh, it's a little sad, but it's a good little folky thing called Getting Over Our Love. And they're just in the background. They're just like happy to do backing vocals for whoever, whenever. But yeah, like Next to Normal and all their most recent projects, they're really like getting into their like disco, like Queen era. And I'm just kind of, I'm here for it. And they also apparently like now in their live shows, they like playing keytars on stage like together. And I'm like, the visual of it, because they both like wear similar outfits.
Yes.
They both get similar hairdos, and then having like the exact same guitar, you're just kind of like, yes, there's something that's so beautiful about the symmetry of just like watching it happen. But yeah, man, I love artists whenever they get to like do whatever at some point in their career, because their folk stuff, like obviously that's where they locked me in, but yeah, Next to Normal.
Yeah.
What a dang jam.
It's a banger. It's a banger.
It's a banger.
And then to speak on the whole collaborations that they've been doing, on the Wikipedia page, like their collaboration list is like super long.
Yeah.
They freaking went on tour with Roger Waters, which I mean, I think he got in some hot water recently.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Damn, I didn't even see that one. Yes. Yes. But they went on tour with him as his, exactly like you were saying, they were his backing vocalists. And it's crazy. So they get around. Like
they get,
our friend
they get
KP over there.
Around, just like KP.
There you go. And we had kind of like a funny question, I think. I don't know. We didn't run it by you beforehand. So if you're like, I don't want to talk about that,
I'm ready.
We'll skip it.
So I finally got to see you perform live.
I was there too. I got to see her too.
Oh, yeah.
We got to see her live.
We got to see her live. I love that little place. What was it called again? I'm blanking out.
The name of the venue was Botanical, like Silver Lake Botanical.
Oh, yeah.
But the only reason why I'm also kind of blanking out on the name is that they closed down.
What?
Yeah.
No. Are you sure?
Yeah, they did.
I just found that place. We went twice in one weekend.
I know. They wow. were just, they were hanging on there for a while, but like rent in that particular neighborhood on that particular spot. It sucks.
Well, that week that we saw you, they were just saying that the little shop on the corner was also closing.
Yeah, we went to go like support. Like, yeah. I was like, sorry, you guys. Like,
wow. Lifted Botanical. That's what the business name was. Lifted Botanical.
Oh, RIP.
Yeah, y'all. But here, like, the good thing is, like, both of, like, all the management team in that place is promising that they'll, like, be somewhere else. Mm. Mm-hmm. They just can't be in that particular venue anymore, which sucked because it was so cozy.
Yeah.
It was so nice. It was, like, an older house that they just renovated to have, like, a small stage.
Yeah.
Wonderful little drinks with kava in it.
Yeah.
Those drinks were, like, something else.
Yeah. That was they were, definitely they drugs, were like, but I don't know. It said it wasn't,
it was
but I'm pretty sure
because,
it was.
Yeah, they were like, it's not drugs. You can totally drive.
Guys, it's not drugs. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty sure you just gave me drugs. Yeah.
They're like, but it makes you feel really good.
Like, the way that the pitch sometimes sounded, you're just kind of like, you guys sound like you're cops. Like, you're just trying to, like, catch us. Like, yeah, you're like, guys, it's not drugs. Yeah. Wink, wink. Yeah. Like, okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It didn't do wonders for my anxiety, but
it does.
That's why I was like, this is kind of like something else.
Like, this feels different. Admit it. Like,
but anyways, went to see you at Lifted Botanical. And RIP. You had mentioned, if we wanted to hear the story, about someone, like, suing you for your music. And I was like, damn, that's straight out of Nashville. I watched that whole series.
Oh,
I was like the only
honestly.
One of my friends. Like, and I was like, damn. I was like, yes, I would like to know that story if you'd care to share.
Yeah, of course. It's okay to talk about it now because obviously things have like passed and time has passed. And it's funny because like I was on a KP's podcast, the Quento pod. Where
Shout out.
I was also asked this question and like, it is one of those very silly things of, it's a weird thing to like be an indie artist and like, you just think that like nobody's paying attention or like nobody knows you. And then like litigation kind of like comes out of, not totally out of left field, actually, no, totally out of left field. Let me like get into why that is. So my latest, EP, the Sunspots EP, wasn't originally called that. They're all songs that are based on my relationship with my birth mother. So originally the EP was called Maternity Leave because I love a joke and I'm sick as far as my humor goes. But I would say that like my relationship with my birth mother had always been a little tense and had always been a little fraught. So the tea is that she was the one that was leveraging a lawsuit against me, or she was thinking about it because after I had discussed it with my entertainment lawyer, she only really had grounds on like one specific song that had a recording of like her voice, but it's also my voice from like a VHS tape whenever I was like 4. It used to be on the track Hummingbird, and that was the original version of the track where the entire project ends with like us just talking to each other, like me as a child, her as like my mom behind the camera. And because like, you know, I did not request her permission to use that VHS recording. That was where
the grounds were.
I was sent a very long email filled with a lot of threats, filled with a lot of mean things that I will not disclose to the public.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, like it was really rough like to experience that, but looking back on it, it's like all the questions that I had for my birth mother whenever I wrote the project became answered whenever she sent me that response. And I was like, oh, okay, so like all these things that I would hope for, or that I felt like I didn't get a chance to like communicate to you, this is how you would respond to that. I've had plenty of like my aunts or like my friend's mom just be like, you know, my reaction if I heard a whole project that was like about my relationship to my daughter would just be to call her up and be like, hey, what's going on? Not my birth mom. It was a different thing. But the way that I feel about it now is just kind of like, I don't know, like a lot of people expect me or have expected me to like feel sadder about it. And in all honesty, like I can't feel sad. It feels weird about like, I have so much clarity now. I'm not really like hoping for anything extra. I'm not like trying to reach for anything new. So yeah, it was just one of those like weird things where like I laugh about it because I'm just kind of like, that is kind of insane, like how that went down. Even with whatchamacallit, I had gotten like other advice of just like, I was scared to release that project because I was like, should I give her the heads up? She doesn't really listen to my music anyway. How should I go about that? And for most people, like their whole thing was just like, oh, well, if she doesn't listen to it anyway, like how is she gonna know? And you know, she found out.
Like, she had a Google alert.
Like, and that's the thing is that like, I never mentioned her name. Her image was like, actual image had never been used. Everything was like an artistic rendering. Mm-hmm. So yeah, even my lawyer was just kind of like, oh, other things, like maybe she could try to like get you on, but like that would just be a waste of money because it's not really actual defamation or like slander. Like it's just, you don't mention her by name either. So
it's like the only way anybody would know is if she tells them, hey, that sounds
exactly,
about me.
Exactly, exactly. And like, I didn't even use the word mother on that project until the very last actual word that you hear on the entire project. So you don't even realize that, like what the relationship is until you get to that final song. Yeah. Sorry, it's not more of a funny story. I know that actually, like, it comes across as like a little sad.
No. So I was going to mention that. I was like, you know what? I think I phrased that incorrectly because for whatever reason, I thought it was an ex that tried to sue you.
I think because I said the Nashville thing.
Oh, the Nashville.
That was the Nashville story.
So it was like a miscommunication between Denise and myself. So I thought it was, because I even told her earlier, I was like, oh, so it was like a, I was like, if that's the case, then wouldn't like a bunch of people sue Taylor Swift or something?
No.
Is that what you were referring
to? Because I thought it was an ex. So that's why I thought it was a funny story.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. Honestly, like, look, if exes could sue musicians for writing about them, there'd be a lot less money in the music industry.
For sure.
But yeah, no, honestly, you know what? Shout out to my exes for never, never leveraging any litigation against me for things I've written about them.
Nice.
You know what? Call back to Denise's song. You are some of the good guys. Good job, my exes.
Nice. And then actually, I did want to mention, you put together a little documentary for the Sunspots EP.
I did.
And so, yeah, I'll include a link to that in the show notes.
What? Then
I don't know. I don't know if I can.
No, you can. Okay. Because it's just no one's ever talked about it. Oh.
Yeah. And actually, like at the end of it, you see that video clip, right?
Yeah. You do see a portion of that VHS tape.
Yeah.
The infamous VHS tape.
Yeah. So now I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. There you go. Definitely check it out. It's pretty cool. Just getting to. I love little behind the scenes stuff like that.
You are a liner note guy, and I really appreciate about you, Ron.
I am. So yes, so definitely check it out. It was pretty cool, and it's just nice to see how the sausage gets made, as they say.
Thanks.
And also, I think KP recorded. Did you said right?
KP again. KP throughout this episode. No, he was one of the camera operators. Yes. Whenever we like the way that it all came about too was that like we were. I was already just collecting footage while, like, going back to the marketing thing. I was collecting, like, content.
Wow.
I hate doing that.
Yeah.
I was collecting it while we were recording the project. And then at the end of it, I was like, I have so much footage. Uh-huh. Like, what do I do with this? And I just decided to, like, put it all into, like, a little mini doc that it goes between, like, the actual camera I have at home, a phone camera whenever I had it, other people like capturing live performances and stuff. So it was just, it's really hodgepodge. Like, guys, it's no Taylor Swift eras or Beyonce homecoming, but like I liked it. Yeah. I was proud of it. Mm-hmm. And also shout out to all my Patreon members for making that even possible with like being able to pay the people that captured the content for us, like at our live shows. Not even remotely possible without the support of the folks that like are willing to give me a couple bucks a month. Like, that's awesome.
There you go. There you go. Don't forget, links to all of that will be in the show notes. And I said this last time, one other episode, but if you're on your podcast app, whichever podcast app you use, and you're looking at the show notes and nothing is hyperlinked, I don't know why that's happening. So just go to lppod.com and then all the links will work there. So just FYI.
All these platforms be trying to trick you, Rob.
Exactly.
They're trying to hold out on you. That's not right.
It's not right. I'm going to have to start some litigation myself.
Oh, no.
All right. Denise, did you have anything else to say about the songs or anything?
I dug the song. At first, I was like, I got like Tegan and Sarah vibes, but then yeah. I love the building and like the lyrics. And there's a one part where there's like yelling in the background. Yeah. And like that really reminded me of Glenn Hansard. So, which is like a weird mix because Glenn Hansard just has like this. Well, he's very emotional in his song. So I dug it. And then I just shout out to those exes that don't crash your shows.
Yo.
Because that happened. To one of the 110 podcasts, one of the bands that I had on the 110 podcast. Yeah, that was like crazy. They like, there was a few footage. It was just in the stories.
Really?
But yeah. So guy came in saying like, oh, you can't sing like these songs are like about me. You can't sing this stuff. It got really physical and I was like, oh my gosh.
Again, what Rod said, if you don't want anyone to know it's about you,
exactly.
Don't do nothing. Tell no one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unless you just want that clout.
Yes.
Ew.
That's what it is. That's what it is, most likely. Mm-hmm. Egomaniacs over there.
Love to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, retract that statement. Hate to see it.
All right. And with that, we'll move on to the final song of the evening. Or the morning, wherever it is, whatever time and space you are occupying at the moment. I had a bunch of songs. I made a little playlist for myself because I was just like, oh, what about this one? What about this one? What about this one?
So nice.
Yeah. So, I feel like I went with like the obvious one, but I was like, honestly, like this is the one I like the best. So I was like, I'll go with this one. But there was a De La Soul song in there that I thought about throwing in. Yeah. There was like a couple other like rap / hip hop songs. There was some Elton John with I'm Still Standing.
Oh, of course.
And there's so many. There's a bunch of Queen songs. You could throw in like a whole Queen album in there.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
But I was like, anyways, I'll go with this one. So I ended up going with I'll Rise by Ben Harper. Mm. And this is off his 1994 album, Welcome to the Cruel World.
You may write me down in a history with your bitter, twisted lies. May trod me down in the very dirt, and still like the dust I'll rise. Does my happiness upset you? Why are you best with gloom? Cause I laugh like I've got an oil well pumping in my living room. So you may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, and I'll rise. I'll rise, I'll rise, rise, rise. Out of the shacks of history's shame, up from a past rooted in pain. I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise, rise, rise. Now did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes. Shoulders falling down like teardrops weakened by my soul cries. Does my confidence upset you? Don't you take it awful hard. Cause I walk like I've got a diamond mine breaking up in my front yard. So you may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, and I'll rise, I'll rise, I'll rise, rise, rise.
There you go. That was I'll Rise by Ben Harper.
Man, so there's such beauty and simplicity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. That's all I got to say about that. I don't want to ruin it by adding my own thing.
No, please.
No, but yeah, no, I just love that song. Like, yeah, it's so simple. It's like a little gospel-y vibes with the chorus in the background. And it's just like the piano and just him. And I love his voice. Like, to me, it's a really unique voice. I don't really hear him in too many other people. And yeah, like the lyrics are just great, just how it's like you keep trying to bring me down, but like, you're not gonna do it. And that's that. And
I love that line. Like, does my confidence upset you? Mm-hmm. And it's like, ooh, you tell him, Ben. Tell him about it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And like the visualization of like, I got an oil drill in my living or in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. I got a diamond mine in my yard. Like, I'm rich without being that. That's, man. Mm-hmm. Man, Ben Harper. You got me, dog.
Yeah. It's a banger. And that's another one of those like goosebumpy feeling songs for me, where it's just like, ooh, feels so good.
Oh yeah, like it's not quite ASMR, but there is something about like just like gospel does that though. I feel like it's just, it really is so born out of like a place where it's supposed to stir your soul. Mm-hmm. Like I felt, this is gonna sound so stupid, not stupid, but silly. It felt like somebody like had a gumbo pot like on my chest and was just like slowly stirring it. And I was like, yes, let me stew forever in this.
Beautiful visuals.
Weird visual.
Denise, what would you think?
I like what you had to say, that you don't hear his voice in many other people. Because like every time I hear Ben Harper, I'm like, that's Ben Harper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's not like anybody else. Like, that sounds like Ben Harper. It's like, no, like that's Ben Harper. He's so like diverse and like all of his albums, like I've been following him like for a while, and like he really does like hold like a special place in my heart, because we saw him like 5 times like with Pearl Jam. He opened for Pearl Jam.
Classic.
So it was Ben Harper and Relentless 7. I love that album to this day. It's one of my favorite albums, with like Fly One Time being one of my favorite songs. And like I even named one of my guitars after him. It's Harper. So like I really like, I'm a Ben Harper fan.
Ben, come to the show. Like, come on the pod.
Yeah, and we've even like I only went once, but his mom owns this folk music shop in Claremont, and they have an open mic there once a month.
You should go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, I don't know if you're still doing open mics, but if you are, like,
okay. That's what's so funny, right? Is that like I think that open mics are more like a gym for artists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like you go out there to like work the muscle and like get used to like what you're doing before you like set out to like a big competition or something. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's silly whenever people like look down on open mics or they're like, ew, you want me to go to an open mic? Like, what do you expect me to do? Sit through a bunch of people that are just like talking about their feelings through art? I'm like, yes, actually, that's what they're for. But no, I think it's silly of just like having a delineation between like, oh, an open mic is not like real performance. It's like, no, it's, if anything, it's like the rawest version of it, where it's like you're getting the unadulterated versions of like an artist being able to like not always take their time, but like they're not thinking about like, oh, okay, I only have a half hour. Like, okay, I got to load in, got to load out, got to make sure that I have all these things. But I think the open mic scene is dope. And I encourage more people, especially if you don't feel confident about your own art, go to an open mic. You can just go there to sit and like watch other people, and eventually you'll get up there. I know a friend of mine who never went to an open mic before like 2019. He went to his very first one in like January 2020. It was a little shaky at first, like, because he hadn't obviously done it before. Everything that you try for the first time is not the best.
Yeah.
But ever since then, like, watching him, like, grow and prosper, like, as an artist is, like, so inspiring, like, to me, where it's just kind of, like, it pushes me to do better. It pushes me to, like, return to these spaces. And I think that for, like, every artist, like, I can think of, like, even one of my more femme artist friends of, like, she had never had anybody like really listen to her poetry before, or she was like nervous about like bringing her a poetry, and she was at a mic for like 3 months, and there was an opportunity to do like a showcase, and then she jumped on it, knocked it out of the park. Like, it was just, it brings so much more confidence. I also think that like open mics encourage your perseverance, because as soon as you're in this supportive environment, people are like, oh, I can do this, actually. Like, it's not that scary, because I just did it and it's fine. The world didn't end. I didn't just like spontaneously combust for letting people know how I feel.
I think like mics are just like such a help. I just wish there was a more supportive mics, I guess, or people that went to mics. Like, I know you want to play and you just want to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I understand, like, because me, like, I have like a 2 hour, 3 hour time span, like with the dogs or whatever, depending on like the drive over there and stuff, you know? So I try and stay as long as I can. But like some people, it's like they just play and then they leave. I try and like, I was like, dude, like I got to stay at open mics, like specifically, like I got to stay for at least 3 or 4 people after me.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Because it is a long wait. Like at some mics. Like,
yeah,
it's just like a crazy wait. And like, yeah.
On that, like the open mic that I often go to is like Palms Up Academy, and Ariana, who runs the mic, Ariana Bosco, she has this mantra of you shine, I shine. Be the audience member that you would want whenever you're up here. So be present. Like, don't be thinking about your shit that you brought to the mic. Don't be trying to like come up here trying to do some fancy shit. Pay attention. Because at the end of the mic, she does this thing called B-sides, where depending on what was brought that evening, she calls people up spontaneously to collab with each other on the spot.
Oh, damn.
Okay. And it's like, it's a really, really cool experience. But it was probably the first open mic that I had been to in a really long time where people were just not concerned about, oh, I gotta have like my shit ready because I want to impress people, or I'm like trying to network. Being in that mic space really, I think it's either for people or it's not for people. We've had a lot of folks that like come through the mic and they stick around because they love that environment. They love being present and they love that supportive environment where people can just like experiment with like without judgment. And I feel like in LA, that's such a hard thing to come by where it's like, oh, everybody's like, but what if I impress you and add you to my network? And like,
oh,
what if we just like hook up sometime to like collab or hook up because everyone's single? Like, it's just like, you know what I mean? It's disgusting. Jail.
Nice. It's like, buddy, it's an open mic. It's not like a freaking.
It's just not Tinder.
It's not speed dating.
Like,
oh, yeah, Tinder.
Yeah, you know
Tinder.
What I mean? There like, you can't just swipe every time somebody's on stage.
Yeah. All right. How do we get there? Something I alluded to earlier was all the different venues you've gone to play. Some of our favorites, which is Hotel Cafe.
Yeah.
We love the Hotel Cafe. You've also played at the Mint. Given that you've already played some pretty iconic, notable venues here in LA, is there any venue left over that would be like your dream place to play?
Oh my God. I have a whole list on my phone about like places that I want to like gig at. It includes stuff like the Roxy.
Oh, yeah.
The Troubadour one day. That'd be super cool. Some other smaller things too, like Black Rabbit Rose is one. Because I was kind of like, oh, the Novo was like a cool venue that I went to watch Sammy Ray and the Friends. Mm. There's venues that I've been to where I'm like, it'd be super cool to play here. And then there's other like really big ones where I'm like, ah, yes, the Forum or like, ooh, the Wiltern.
Yeah.
And like extending beyond that, like there's stuff about where I'm like, ooh, I'd love to be a Scary Pockets vocalist, like just like to guest on like a cover that they do. NPR Tiny Desk. My favorite one probably. South by Southwest participant, yes. Just because I loved that festival so much. If I could even do Austin City Limits like in an October, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's good to have goals and like to try to manifest things. And it was really sweet, like with last year, with like having the Hotel Cafe and the Mint and the Viper Room like on that on my phone. It felt like such a cool feeling to be like, check, check, check. And it felt like I was doing the damn thing. And now me and my band are like, no performances till the summer because we're tired and we're trying to record an album.
Yeah. So then something else that we had mentioned earlier was the whole you do everything. So you do the booking, you do everything. Mm-hmm. So how did booking those shows come about? You don't have to get too granular with it.
Yeah.
If there's, you know, you don't want to. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy to think that you're doing this all on your own and yet you managed to start playing some of these bigger places. So
yeah, I think it's really a big benefit of I just happen to have a couple of band members in my band that have played at these venues before that aren't shy about like contacting the venue directly or like whoever was there who booked them or was like promoting them at that venue. Mm-hmm. And just asking them like, hey, do you have any shows? It's so funny how like we try to make things like so complicated as like musicians when all it really ever takes is like emailing a person being like, hey, do you need live entertainment? Like,
yeah.
And it was sometimes it's just like that easy. I don't know if like for one of my bandmates, if he actually ever like sent a clip of like what we do, he was just kind of like, hey, Scott, do you mind having us at this venue? And it's like, okay, cool. Yeah, that was most, the hotel cafe one was like different because I personally don't love how that booking like panned out. But on the plus side, there was like benefits that I got out of it with like really nice footage. But then there was other things like I had to re-edit the music mix myself because it wasn't great. And that felt bad considering I paid to have that given to me. There's a difference between like, and I think this is very important for musicians to remember, there's a very big difference between predatory promoters and promoters that are just trying to like fill up a lineup of just like people at the show. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to say that the majority of the shows that we played last year were just like friends being like, hey, are you free? Do you want to come play here? Or like, we did this really fun thing in the summer called Philip Emo Night, where we love a joke, I told you. It was a fundraiser show, actually, that we had at Brew Yard, which is a Filipino and Japanese-owned brewery over in Glendale. And it was a fundraiser for a local nonprofit, SIPA. And I was just really excited to put together a show with, like, with my friends where I'm like, oh, you guys are all in like bands that kind of play emo music and you're all Filipino. I think we got a show here. And it was just a ton of fun of just like half hour sets for all these folks. You're doing it for a good cause. Everybody got paid out. Everybody that worked the show got paid. Like, it felt so good to just be in such a supportive environment. And then you compare that to like big venues and bigger gigs and you're like, is everyone getting paid? It's like, is anybody getting paid? How much are you getting paid? Dimes. And I'm like, cool. Like, sick.
Going back to the whole social media thing and how that's a whole other job there. Just from talking to other bands here through the podcast and through the 110 podcast, it seems like some venues do ask like, oh, well, what are your social media numbers? Is that, have you had to deal with that?
I have not dealt with that, which is really nice. So they just ask me, what are my socials? So it's been easy just to be like, here's the stuff. And then checking their website occasionally being like, you didn't put my stuff up there yet. What's the deal?
Like, I gave it to you. I know you got it.
I know you got it. You still want me to play the show? You want me to sell tickets? You got to put my information up there.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. So I guess that does it for this month's episode. If you made it this far, thank you very much. This is something I used to say in the other podcast, and then I hadn't been saying it here. Thank you very much. We know there are a lot of different ways that you could be spending your free time. So we just want to say thank you for spending a few of those minutes here with us. Adima, you mentioned you're working on a new album.
I am. I'm working on a new album called Exit Plan. It's all about how anxiety twists us into versions of ourselves that we don't recognize and how we try to escape it all the time.
Do you have any shows on the horizon? You mentioned maybe not till the summer.
Not till the summer. We want to try to get the album nice and plugged away. But yeah, just like follow me on my socials. Oh, by the time this episode is out, we'll be a couple days away from me launching an Indiegogo campaign for the album itself. Like I said, I do a lot of this by myself. I don't always... I apply for artist grants and all that, but like I do like to pride myself on a lot of my stuff as like people powered. So if you feel like joining the journey, there's some cool merch that's going to be bundled up in certain things. Some like RSVPs to release parties. And like if you donate a certain amount of money, you get to go to 3 shows of me and my band for free at your choosing between 2024 and 2025. It's not a bad deal. Like me fully being like, please help.
I love the way you pitch it though. You got to stick with the pitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's also one of those things where I'm just like, there's also other places in the world that need money as well. So I'm like, do what you can when you can. Me and my little music making thing, we'll be doing this forever. So like, you choose.
Yeah. It's like there's a lot of tip jars out there.
Yeah.
So you decide which one you want to put it in.
Yeah. We'll all just be handing money to each other. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Definitely check it out. There'll be links to everything in the show notes. If you just happen to be listening right now and you're like, just tell me, it's madima.mp3 on the socials. And then from there, you can find all her links to everything.
All the stuff.
Denise, where can people find you?
At D for Music, DEEFUR Music on Instagram.
And if you want to get hold of the show, email is the way to go. feedback@lppod.com. If you want to check out even more podcasts like the 110 podcast, which Denise puts a lot of work into and comes out every Friday, featuring a small artist that you can tell your friends about and then feel super cool and be like, hey, I know this underground indie artist named Madima. You got to check her out.
I've saved a couple of bands from the One Cent Pod where I'm like, I like this vibe. It's nice. The perfect, perfect. You don't have to use Discover Weekly, guys. Just listen to the 110 Pod.
Yeah.
There you go. So you can find that at 110pod.com or a bunch of other podcasts at talkingishard.com. Madima, thanks again. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day and chatting here with us. And yes, yeah, we loved
thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank you. And maraming salamat for having me on the show.
Yeah.